Members Committee to order. Today's Monday, February 25th, 2013. We've got at least 13 bills on here, and we're going to try to do each one in about 10, 15 minutes. And there will not be votes today, except on Senator Dames' bill, the first one up that goes to Tax Committee after this. So we will vote on that. Senator Pappas approached me, and she does want to visit a little bit about it's not in the agenda, but we're going to give her some time on the stadium and for the St. Paul ball team that deed put in some money, and the state is heavily involved. So we need a license there, so we'll talk about that too. So Senator Dames, Senate File 587. Senator Dames.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. For the record, I am Senator Gary Dames, and I'm here today to introduce Senate File 587 and move Senate File 587. Senate File 587 is a bill for an act relating to taxation of liquor, modifying the definition of a qualified brewer, amending Minnesota Statutes 2012, Section 297G04, Subdivision 2. What it amounts to is this moves the limit from 100,000 to 250,000 barrels of fermented malt beverage for the definition of a qualified brewer. I have two testifiers with me today. I have Mr. Mark Stuttrud and Mr. Ward Innes. At this time, I'll turn it over to Mr. Stuttrud for his presentation.
Thank you. Welcome to the Minnesota Senate.
My name is Mark Stuttrud. I'm the founder and president of Summit Brewing Company here in St. Paul, Minnesota. Mr. Chair, members of the Senate Commerce Committee, thank you for considering my testimony. I'm also here on behalf of Ted Marty from Augushell Brewing Company in New Ulm, Minnesota, who is not able to be with us today. But our position is that it's time to change the definition of a small brewer. The brewing industry has changed dramatically over the past five decades. In 1965, Anheuser-Busch was the largest brewer with a production capacity of 15 million barrels. Today, Anheuser-Busch, owned by a global concern, InBev, has domestic sales of over 105 million barrels. During the late 60s and early 70s, legislators recognized that small brewers did not benefit from the economies of scale or the margins of mass production. To promote a more level playing field, beer excise tax credits on the state and federal level were created. In some respects, these credits were too late, as we witnessed the demise of small regional breweries in the state of Minnesota and across the country. These tax credits are more critical today. The brewing industry has undergone huge consolidation, and the gap between small brewers and the major international brewers has dramatically widened. We are simply asking to raise this definition of a small brewer from 100,000 barrels to 250,000 barrels per year. Historically, excise taxes, both federal and state, represent 4 to 8% of a small brewer's gross sales. State and federal excise taxes escalate to nearly 10% when this tax credit is lost. And it takes sales of approximately 40,000 additional barrels to reduce this tax burden back to 8%. So certainly for us, this tax credit is important, and it supports job creation and capital expenditures. Since 2011, Summit Brewing Company has grown from 54 full-time employees to 61 full-time and 12 part-timers. At least four additional full-time positions will be created this year. Capital expenditures in 2011 and 2012 were over $3 million. And currently, we're investing over $10 million in 2013 to expand our operations. So I'm sure all of you really appreciate this tax credit as being meaningful to small brewers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Innes, did you wish to?
Mr. Chairman, I'm just really here to answer any questions. People have questions about the tax credit, how it works, the revenue implications.
Okay. I think we're familiar. No big deal. But, well, it is a big deal. How come the There's no House companion at this point, Senator James. And we don't want to get this going, I mean, sure, you know.
Chairman, I can answer that question. The jackets have been signed. They have just not been dropped, introduced yet.
Okay.
There will be a House companion.
Well, there is another body here that thinks they have let us hear on it. No, they do. Okay, any questions on the bill or any motion? Senator Housley, do you care to move this and then forward it to the Tax Committee? That's your motion?
That's my motion.
That's what I thought it was your motion. Okay. Any further discussion, Senator Goodwin?
I do have a question on the fiscal impact of this, if you could answer that. What is the fiscal impact of this bill?
Yeah, Chairman, Senator Goodwin, we don't have an updated revenue estimate. That'll come when it goes in front of the Tax Committee. But this bill was introduced last year and included in the omnibus tax bill. And last year's revenue estimate had that $390,000 per year.
Cost, correct?
Cost to the state, correct.
Further discussion. And on all of us in favor of the Pappas motion,
the
Housley motion.
But I wanted to make the motion.
Oh, you did. Okay. You're on record as wanting to make the motion. And refer to the Tax Committee. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Senator Reinhart, did you wish to take Senate File 66, the malt liquor shipments authorization bill? I guess
certainly, Mr. Chairman, as long as we're running through these. I've not asked anyone to testify, and am very comfortable with the fact that you're holding this over for possible not inclusion in the omnibus liquor bill.
That's the first I've heard of that one in 25 years we've been out here. 30,
just yeah. Let everybody know. You know, members, as long as we have this opportunity, this is a bill I have introduced before when I was in the House. I brought it back now in the Senate. It is something I would welcome us to chat about at some point, but I don't think today is that day. So as long as we're here, I'll take a minute just to say we now allow shipments in Minnesota to I think it's 2 cases of wine from a vineyard outside the state. So if you have a favorite bottle of wine that you can't find at a store or distributor here in Minnesota, you could get it from the vineyard. We don't do the same on beer. So when I first wrote the bill, it was just sort of if you can do it on wine, why can't we do it on beer? And there are a whole lot, trust me, as we all know, you write a bill and you find out that there are all kinds of reasons why it is the way it is. So there are a whole list of reasons why that is, but that's all this bill would do, Mr. Chairman, and that's the extent of my comments.
Tough sell, Ermin. Okay, we'll hold this over for possible inclusion. Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Reinhart, so are we talking from company to individual, or is there any aspect of the three-tier system from wholesaler to retail? Would any of this be going to retailers, I guess, is my question.
Right. Mr. Chairman, Senator Pratt, no. And that, of course, is one of the concerns. It circumvents the three tiers. You know, the comfort, as far as I see, is it's a maximum of 2 cases in a calendar year. So it's an opportunity, especially with the burgeoning craft beer industry in Minnesota and across the country. It allows a consumer to get a particular beer or brand that they like that they haven't been able to get because maybe a retailer or a wholesaler doesn't see the demand across the state to carry that. And I think that's completely justifiable from their standpoint as well. So okay. It certainly has lots of issues, which is why we're not looking for a full hearing.
Okay. Any further? Senator Pratt, you've got the next bill on the agenda, Senate File 114. Mm-hmm. Would you like
Thank
to
you,
present
Mr. Chair.
The bill? Valley Fair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Committee. For the record, my name is Eric Pratt, and I'm moving Senate File Number 114. Essentially, the bill is to allow the City of Shakopee to entertain, negotiate, and eventually approve a liquor license for Valley Fair. I have City Manager Mark McNeil and Valley Fair Representative Frank Padilla to speak more about the details.
Okay, welcome to the committee. All testifiers, just introduce yourself for the tape.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am Mark McNeil, Shakopee City Administrator.
I'm here today speaking on behalf of Senate File 114, which would authorize an expanded on-sale intoxicating liquor license to Cedar Fair Entertainment, which is a parent company of Valley Fair. Valley Fair has been a good corporate partner with the city of Shakopee since they opened in 1975. Current statute 340A-404 limits on-sale intoxicating liquor licenses to the following locations: hotels, restaurants, bowling centers, clubs, or fraternal organizations, sports facilities owned by either the Minnesota Sports Facilities Authority or the Metropolitan Sports Commission, and exclusive liquor stores. Obviously, a regional entertainment park such as Valley Fair does not fit into any of those categories. Valley Fair in the past has received from the city 4 on-sale alcohol licenses within their park, which they are used at either restaurants or bars within the park. However, what they found is that there are patrons that have asked for alcohol at other venues within the park, such as for wedding receptions. Valley Fair can't accommodate them with the existing statute. The remedy for that would be found in Senate File 114. If you approve that, and if it's approved by the state, the City Council would take...
Oh.
I thought we were at the Super Bowl.
We're taking a dim view of your... Oh, that's bad, Dave.
Nonetheless, if this is approved, we'd then go to the Shakopee City Council. We need to negotiate with them as far as some of the details on that. However, we have had conversations with the chief of police. He knows that Valley Fair has been a good partner in terms of controlling alcohol, and we see no problems with that. I stand for questions.
Okay. Sir, did you wish to? Senator Kasoka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What is the history of no alcohol at the Valley Fair? And another thing related to that, other events where we allow alcohol, sometimes they have to have a band to signify they're an adult. I'm just wondering if you've thought through, if we pass this, what kind of safety measures you'd have in place to prohibit minors from consuming.
Senator Zalka, I think Mr. Padilla can speak to that.
Thank you. My name is Frank Padilla, Food Service Director for Valley Fair. Currently, right now, as stated by Mr. Mark Neal, the 4 sites that we have are currently confined by either a patio or a fence that indicates that's the area that you can consume. Our employees are trained to ask for IDs for every time somebody purchases an alcoholic beverage, and we control our guests to stay with that confined area. The water park is a perfect example of that. I mean, the area is clearly defined, and no alcoholic beverages leave that particular part of our property, and we will continue to do that. Again, this is just for us to have the ability to serve and other areas of our park or for private events, which is our primary concern.
I would think you'd have to be very careful out there to risk your license, so to speak. So, but anyway, did you wish to testify, sir?
No, I'm just here for any questions that the chairman or the committee might have.
Okay, any questions of the committee members? Anybody in the audience wish to be heard on this bill? Okay, we're going to lay this over for possible inclusion in a larger bill. Okay?
Mr. Chair, I might request that some, depending on the timing of that, I may ask that this be taken up separately.
Taken up what?
Separately at some point in time.
We'll see. Well, the good news is nobody's objecting so far here. So.
Awesome.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Senator Dahl, are you ready with the... You've got, I believe, two here listed, 219 and 220. Take them in whatever order you'd like.
Mr. Chair, I don't know if Michael Agnew is in the room.
Yes.
Come on up.
Come on down.
I guess we have some serious questions. I'd like to move for possible inclusion in the liquor omnibus bill, Senate File 219. And really what we're doing here is we're really both of these bills, but I'll talk specifically about Senate File 219, is we're just kind of including beer into something that was done last year in statute for wine. And the first Senate File 219 really adds beer educator on sale license, as we added wine educator license last year. So that's just the really specifying that addition. I might add, I'll let Mr. Agnew talk a little bit about the need for adding beer to this particular statute, if you don't mind. Introduce your name.
Sure. My name is Michael Agnew. I'm a certified Cicerone and owner of A Perfect Pint and a beer educator. Basically, what this addition of beer to the wine educator's license does is eliminate some difficulties in pursuing this career. It makes it possible for beer educators, just like wine educators, to purchase beer at retail and to include that, to be reimbursed for that in the fee that we charge. Currently, to get beer to events, we have to do a lot of workarounds. We end up in some gray areas where nobody really knows if anybody is allowed to buy beer for beer tastings. This just clarifies all of that, says I can provide by buying beer retail and charging my clients for it.
Mr. Chair and members, so again, we're just trying to beer educators. I think it's a growing profession or a growing industry. I think our craft beers are becoming as original and as unique as some of our, obviously, our wines. So I think this just does clarify the law a little bit and allows people like Mr. Agnew to do their business.
Senator Reinhart, did you have a question?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. I recall hearing this last year, I think, in Commerce, or the year before. Remember it well. I'm just trying to remember why it didn't move forward at that time. It seemed like a good idea.
I think the wine educator
As far as I know, it was just wine.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, just wine. The way.
All right. So kind of like we can get two cases of wine, but okay.
I've been told by counsel that in line 0.16 it should be malt liquor instead of beer, so we'll make that.
It runs through.
And it runs through the wherever else it's mentioned.
Mr. Chairman, we have a couple bills on the agenda today where they use the term beer, and I think I would suggest the proper terminology of malt liquor be used instead. It's a little broader term that's defined in the liquor code, and I think I would suggest that.
I'll move that.
Can we take we're not moving the bills today, but can we take
I think we can take the controversial
okay, it's not controversial. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion prevails. Anybody in the audience wish to speak for or against this educator language? Okay, we'll pull this over for possible inclusion in the what might be an omnibus liquor bill later. Senate File 220, Senator?
Yes, Mr. Dahl. Chair. Senate File 220 is, again, here we're talking about beer tastings, and maybe we have to change the wording there, but again, last year in statute, there was some clarification in the law changing the wine tasting statute, so this is just, again, adding beer tastings to that existing statute. And as you look at the beer, or the, as you look at the bill, again, you can just see it's a little too early for a beer for me, but as we look at the bill, just adding beer, and maybe might defer to council if that's some language that we should also change to malt beverage.
I think he indicated such, but we'll let him speak.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Dahl, yes, I'd suggest the same thing there, that every place you use the term beer, use the term malt liquor instead.
So moved.
So Senator Pappas moves that amendment on Senate File 220. Wherever it appears, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Further discussion on the beer tasting authorization language by Senator Dahl. Okay, we'll look at those, hold this one over for possible inclusion.
Thank you, Chair.
Senator Reinhart, did you wish to bring forward Senate File 225, Sunday, Thanksgiving Day, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day liquor sales authorization. Senator Reiner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also have pretense we're going to include this issue in an omnibus bill, but I appreciate the opportunity to have this courtesy hearing. You know, nor, Mr. Chairman, would I encourage us to do so. It's a big change in state policy and historic state traditions. So while I believe pretty strongly in this, and we've worked on this issue before, I think it's one we'll want to have stand on its own. Members, this is an extremely lengthy bill. I think we have five lines of text to it. What it would do is allow Minnesota to join the other now 38 states in the union that allow liquor stores to be open on Sundays. I stress the word allow. Nothing in this bill would require a store to be open. Nothing in this bill would require anyone to make a purchase. Stores in Minnesota, their dominant demographic is between the ages of 25 and 50. And what we know from consumer research is that those folks do almost all their shopping on the weekend. I think all of us understand that anecdotally. Jobs, kids, activities keep you busy during the week. On the weekend, those sales are almost 2-to-1 Sunday over Saturday. Now, there are a lot of issues about this, and there are some organized folks in opposition, including many liquor stores themselves, especially the smaller ones. The Teamsters are also opposed, and we've spoken several times on that. But members, at the end of the list of issues of people who are opposed to this change is we don't want to work on Sunday. And I get that. I think that's probably true of most people. But the reality is that not every restaurant is open 24/7. Some are. Not every grocery store is open 24/7. Some are. You know, if you are successful in running your business, you can come up with a model that is a successful model for you. And it doesn't involve us telling you when you can be open and when you have to be closed. So I've invited one person, Mr. Chair, to speak on this issue, Jason Alvey. Those of us who've served on Commerce before know Jason. He actually was successful in getting a law changed because of his unique business. And then I'm sure, Mr. Chair, there are folks that want to speak against. So,
you're welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Senator Reinhart. Chairperson Metzen, committee members. My name is Jason Alvey. I'm the owner of an off-sale liquor store called the Four Firkins in St. Louis Park, and I would like to open my store on a Sunday. Every poll taken shows 60 to 70% of Minnesotans would like the convenience of shopping for alcohol on a Sunday. It doesn't matter if they are Republican or Democrat. Your constituents, my customers, want this convenience. In fact, I have a stack of documents here showing this. This was compiled by the Minnesota Beer Activists, which is a consumer group. So that's here for you. It is the year 2013, yet I pay rent 52 days a year that I'm not allowed to open my business. And I think that's very frustrating. As you know, the opposition is coming from other liquor stores and their lobbying groups. Just because the majority of liquor stores don't want to be open on a Sunday does not mean it should be a law. The opposition will tell you that if you simply spread 6 days of trading, or that it will simply spread 6 days of trading over 7 days. This is not true. Impulse purchasing on a Sunday will increase overall revenue. Sunday is one of the busiest shopping days of the week. Imagine how displeased Target would be if you all of a sudden told them they couldn't open on a Sunday. If a liquor store owner does not want to be open 7 days a week, then why not take advantage of the impulse purchases that you would get on a Sunday and simply close on a Monday like the restaurants do? It should be my decision as a business owner, just like it is for every other retailer. The opposition will tell you that if liquor stores open on a Sunday, this will automatically lead to beer and wine in the aisles at the grocery stores. That would put many small business or small liquor stores out of business. Even the most casual investigation of this claim reveals that that is impossible. As you know, state law doesn't allow the same company to own more than one liquor store per city in Minnesota. That means one Four Firkins in St. Louis Park, and it doesn't matter how many Cub Foods there are in St. Louis Park, only one of them can have a liquor store. That's a state law. If that weren't enough, consider that each city decides how many off-sale licenses it's going to hand out. This number is based on population and demographics. Cities will not simply hand out liquor licenses to every grocery store within its borders. To suggest this shows a complete lack of understanding of the way things work. Keeping this ban in place does not create a competitive business climate. It does the opposite. Let's gain the extra tax revenue. Let's give the people what they want. Let's give progressive retailers like myself the ability to run our businesses how we see fit. I thank you for the opportunity, and I would happily take questions.
Okay. Any questions of the witness? Okay, we have I have listed Ed Reynosa and Mary Ann Campbell. I believe their opponents. I'm not sure of that, though. Okay, welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, do you know how many you have opposed? Because I've asked all the...
Two I have up here, and then I see Mr. Magnoli standing there. Are you going to testify or not?
I have many more in favor.
We're just going to hear briefly from the two of them, so it'll be very quick.
No one contacted me, Mr. Chair.
Okay, so. No, they probably should, but that's all right. Here we go.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. This is a very rare day when I take the seat to testify. Generally, I have my clients do that. My name is Mary Ann Campo. I have been associated with, owned, managed, or related to the management of South Lyndale Liquor since 1975. I have something I'd like to pass out. It's just a letter from my son, Daniel Joseph Campo, who is... as of about 5 months ago, entered into a purchase agreement with his father for South Lyndale Liquor. So I am here to say that I have been in the business a very, very long time. And the reason we oppose Sunday sales is because we don't feel that it is financially feasible to do. We pay $48,000 a year in property taxes, and we would be happy to have additional revenue. But we see this as no additional revenue and just additional cost, employee cost. And our customers have never asked us for Sunday sales. We are in, I would say, a family neighborhood on 53rd and Lyndale Avenue South in southwest Minneapolis. We have the largest wine club in the state of Minnesota. We are the second largest distributor for Surly beer in the state of Minnesota. And we do a very big business, and our customers have adjusted certainly to the fact that we are closed on Sunday. So we don't see any economic advantage, or we would like to do it. We also wanted to make it very clear and on the record that since 1975, when we had to pledge all our assets except our house to the SBA to open our business, we have never come to the legislature to ask for more. We have been here and have opposed wine in the grocery stores for obvious reasons. Kowalski's is across the street from us. We do understand if you can go in and buy a steak and a bottle of wine, you didn't come to our store, and that we're landlocked on. We have never opposed Lunds, Byerly's, or Cub from opening up adjacent stores where they have a separate entrance. We knew the rules when we came into the business. We are a border store. We border Richfield and Edina Municipal. And in Richfield Municipal is located 9 blocks from us. When we borrowed money and we went into business, it was extremely clear to us that we were a border store. So we don't complain about being on the border. The borders have never changed, nor has the border in Duluth ever changed or anywhere. So we just wanted to make it very clear that we understand being a border store, and we would like we're here to answer any questions you would like.
And we're going to hear thank you very much. Any questions of Campbell here. We're going to hear from just one more person against that.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Joe Bagnoli on behalf of the Minnesota Licensed Beverage Association and the Minnesota Municipal Beverage Association. And I'll just say that I think everyone is aware of our opposition. The vast majority of the members are opposed to this, and I just wanted, for time's sake, to add that the Teamsters, as Senator Reiner mentioned, are also opposed. Thank you very much.
Ed, did you have 30 seconds? I mean, Senator Reiner would let you, I'm sure.
Absolutely, Mr.
Chair. Not quite balanced, but that's all right.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Edward Reynoso, I'm the political director for Teamsters Joint Council 32. We represent an excess of 62,000 active and retired Teamsters in the state of Minnesota. We are adamantly opposed to the expansion of liquor sales on Sunday. We've expressed our opposition to this many times. I had sent a letter on behalf of our organization to the chairman, which I hope that will be distributed after this meeting. But for the same reasons as always, we've opposed it because our members have made it very clear they do not want to work on Sundays. Secondly, it's going to expand to a seventh day, which every estimate that I've seen, does not expand any more purchasing of the product. It will just spread it over a seven-day period. So with all due respect, I disagree with the prior testimony, and again, we are adamantly opposed to the expansion of Sunday sales.
Senator
Liquor
Kosoka.
Sales in the state of Minnesota. Thank you.
Senator, did you have a question?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Reinert, have we explored at all the impact on some of the small town liquor stores? I think that's where I see the biggest difficulty, because a lot of those guys are barely making it, and if they have to add an extra day and pay extra employee expense, their profit margin, I don't see increasing. I'm just wondering if you've thought through that part of this issue.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Reinert.
There's no have to, Senator Gazelka. There's no have to. I mean, that's the flaw in the previous testimony, not Mr. Reynoso's, but Ms. Campos. You do not have to. If your customers are not asking for it, don't be open. Now, if you're afraid of the market and that someone else will see that opportunity, that's a different argument. But I would guess, Senator Gazelka, in most small towns where you have one store, that's not going to be an issue. The store is going to be able to continue to run the way it's used to running, and if consumers aren't asking for it, they're not going to be open.
Thank you. Mr. Chair?
Yes.
With all due respect, we totally disagree. Number one, if you don't open up for the seventh day and your competitors do, there goes your customer base. Secondly, you're absolutely right, Senator Gazelka. The fact is that municipal liquor stores are even operating at a thinner margin of profit. Force them to open that seventh day, it will impact our communities on a different level. So that's another one of our concerns. Thank you.
Okay. Very good. We'll take this under
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Advisement. Next bill, it's...
Can I interject on that?
You kid, but sit down and identify yourself for the tape.
My name is Gary Hummel, and this is my dog, Itty Bitty. I lost my daughter to a drunk driver, and I don't think the revenue outweighs life in this state. I think it's 22 or 23 people per 10,000 who are killed in the state of Minnesota. And so I'm opposing the open Sundays.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. You're always welcome. You know that.
Thank you very much.
Minnesota Senate. Senator Rosen, we have Winnebago Outstate Craft Brewer Malt Liquor Importation, Senate File 358.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members. Last year, Mr. Chair, members, this bill was in front of you for the first annual Winnebago Beer Fest. And Winnebago is a very small community in my district, 1,400 people, about 20 miles from the Iowa border. And they really put their necks out to do this beer fest. And it was flipping fun. It was really fun. They did a great job. The economic impact in the city was wonderful. But we did an exemption on the license and brand registration. And then in the committee last year, we put a sunset on it. So this bill is before you to eliminate the exemption for that so they can, again, do this beer fest. There was one brewery from Iowa that came in and one from Nebraska, and the rest were from Minnesota. There has been discussions outside these doors about perhaps putting an oral amendment on the bill to do a one-year exemption on this, with the promise that the beer wholesalers will get together and take a look at it. From what I understand, Minnesota's the only, when they go into another state, they have to pay the license and the brand registration. But when people come into ours with this bill or many others, they don't have to. I understand that argument, and that's why I thought, well, if we could just extend this sunset for another year, so this community, this very small community, can do something great. So only Beer Fest, I believe, in southern Minnesota, and people from seven states came, and they're expecting about 1,500 people this year, up from 800. So that is the bill, Mr. Chair, members. I'm looking for some direction on this.
Excuse me. Let's find out if there's any opposition to this.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Mike Madigan representing the Minnesota Beer Wholesale Association. We appreciate the senator's willingness to address our concerns, and we have no opposition to an extension for a year while we work on an ultimate solution.
Okay, so you're suggesting instead of an unlimited, or it'd be a one-year extension, is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
And Senator Rosen, yours would be not a one-year, but a perpetual or a...
It would be an exemption for the Winnebago Beer Fest to always, be able to. I understand the problem, though, Mr. Chair, that Minnesota gets penalized when they go into other states, and this exemption, allows these people from out of state to come in. But I do think it's an ongoing conversation that should happen with these surrounding states and see if they can come up with something. So,
well, at least better do the 1 year for sure. Right?
Well, I would appreciate that. Yeah,
so.
Thank you.
I think so. This is quite an event, but you ought to let the committee members know the dates. And
Mr. Chair, I will. It was June 23rd last year, and you will get a personal invitation.
Okay, good. Senator Goodwin.
Oh, Mr. Chair, and Senator Rosen, I didn't see that any language in your bill that says it's only for 1 year. Is that something you intended to change later?
Cindy? Mr. Chair and Senator Goodwin, that's I was hoping to do an oral amendment if somebody could pass that, because we just cut this deal outside these doors about 5 minutes ago.
Did you want to do a 1 year?
No, I don't. I mean, that was for her comment, so I just wanted to make sure it was in the order she wanted it in. As it went out of here, so
I think we do the 1 year, then we can work on it. And
Mr. Chair, I think to accomplish the 1 year extension on the sunset on line 6 of the bill, you'd reinstate the stricken language. Line 7 and 8, you would reinstate the stricken language, except for deleting 2012 and inserting 2013.
Okay, that's it. Okay, is that agreeable, Senator?
Thank
Rosen?
You, Mr. Chair.
Senator,
yes.
Kasalka, did you wish to?
I'll move that. Yep.
On that motion, any discussion? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed.
Aye.
Motion prevails, and we'll consider this for inclusion. And I think probably going to end up with maybe one bill or possibly two. But we won't forget you, Senator. Rosa,
and I won't forget you, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much. Thank you, Senator.
It was not to be a joke. I hope you know that. what's her name?
Thank you very much.
Did you wish to take? Why don't you take a couple of these?
Okay, Senator Ingebrigtsen, are you here?
Was here.
Okay. He's gone. Oh, and one.
Oh, for what? You just.
He's here.
Senator Eden. Okay. How about this one?
We have to discuss that one.
We don't have to discuss that one.
Not Senator Metzen's name.
Okay.
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
Maybe this might be a time for me to just bring up the state's bill.
Oh, they're here. Okay. Just in time.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
623. And
I have a handout, if I could, Madam Chair.
Okay.
Help me with that.
6.6.
Thank you.
Okay, Senate File 623.
623, Madam Chair and members. Thank you for this opportunity. You should know that I do have witnesses on the way from Osakis. Sorry they're not here, but I will move forward because I know you guys are on a busy schedule. Senate File 623. Just a point of interest: when you get the handout here, you can see that the folks that I'm representing are in my district. Of course, everybody knows where Alexandria is. That's where everybody wants to be during the weekend and during their vacations, I might add. I'm sure everybody knows that. But just east of there is the town of Osakis on Lake Osakis. And a couple of years ago, a guy by the name of Adrian Panther came to the community and started a whiskey distillery, as it turns out to be. I understand, and there's certainly more experts in this room than sitting at this table at this point, but I think it's the first. Not necessarily the first, but it is the only licensed whiskey distillery in the state of Minnesota. And interesting enough, those of you that drink whiskey, I can say that I probably partake some years back, but it's been a long time since I have. As a point of interest, this is white whiskey, not to be confused with, of course, what was made back in the woods years ago in distilleries, but... Nevertheless, that's what it is. It's actually a white, colored, no color whiskey. And I and my representative toured this facility, and that's what generated the following bills. And they came to you in three different portions here, knowing that some of these have certainly got some heartburn with the folks that are in the industry right now in the state of Minnesota. I thought it best to bring them forward by themselves. And 623 allows basically the same as what the wineries do. However, this is not wine. This is, of course, distilled spirits. It's a lot stronger alcohol content. It allows the distillery to, at the end of a tour, somebody to purchase one bottle, kind of a novelty thing. They would put their label on it, I understand. I know some of the wineries do that now, as you can see, it's a 750 milliliters, such as a gift shop. I've toured it already, been there myself. They do have a gift shop where they send, similar to the wineries, they sell caps, T-shirts, novelty, things like that. They would like an opportunity to be able to sell one bottle, not more than one bottle, per person during a tour, at the end of a tour. So that's what 623 consists of. And they have to have legislation to be able to allow that here in the States. So only one bottle in the gift shop. I can certainly stand for questions. I guess my testifiers are here now, so I'll have them join me at the table.
Okay, great. Perfect timing again.
So maybe, Madam Chair, if I could, I'll let these gentlemen introduce themselves, and they can tell you a little bit about the... each bill, or how would you like to handle it? All three bills pertain to...
And the testifiers will be testifying on all three?
All three of those, yes. And I know
you're... Well, if you just present them all, and then we can hear from the testifiers, might work better.
Certainly. Hope you weren't speeding, were you?
No. We wouldn't do that.
No, good.
So then,
to the testifiers, where I'm at right now is introducing the three bills in their form, number 623. And Madam Chair, if I might, I'll just go to 624, if that's okay, and describe
that.
That's a tasting bill. That's at the end of the tour, what they're asking for is permission to be able to do basically what the wine folks do, and the beer folks, I understand, at the end of a tour, give a sample of their product, again, the white whiskey. Just a small little sample at the end of the tour. Senate File 625 is the hospitality room bill, and it's based on the Surly Tap bill from last biennium. It allows distilleries to open a on-sale place similar to that breweries have done recently, so people can come in and take a look around and be able to sit down and try out or purchase some of the product with or without food, depending upon what type of license they would pursue. So all three bills, one is the ability to sell one bottle at the end of the tour. The other bill is to be able to sample at the end of the tour. And the other bill basically is to allow someone to buy a drink at the end of a tour.
Okay.
And now I'm going to look at both of my, introduce Mr. Panther here and his
Master Distiller.
Senator. Master Distiller.
Yeah.
Just one moment, Senator Reinhart.
Thank you, Chair Jensen. How much is 15 milliliters? Can we get a...
15 milliliters would be...
is that one finger? Is it two fingers?
Could I have him describe what that is exactly?
All right. Thank you.
Being away from the drinking scene myself for well over 20 years, I know what the term two and three fingers means, but sometimes it's when you're picking partners at baseball, too, so if I could have him identify himself.
Brett Gruninger, Master Distiller, Panther Distillery. 15 milliliters would be like a third of a one-ounce shot glass, typical shot glass for layman's terms, just one finger.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Now, if you'd like to have your testifiers, go ahead.
Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Thank you very much, members of the committee. Thank you. I'd like to just thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today on bills SF 623, 624, and 625.
Okay. Can you state your name for the record?
My name is Adrian Panther, and I am the owner of Panther Distillery.
Okay. Thank you.
Let me tell you a little bit about myself. I'm a businessman. I'm also a veteran. I'm a husband and a father of six children. So I decided to build my Panther Distilleries here in Minnesota. My wife was born and raised in the Alexandria area, and her whole family are all dairy farmers in Minnesota. Minnesota has a rich history of illegal moonshining. So I decided to start the first legal whiskey distillery in Minnesota. We're located in Osakis, Minnesota. We started building in 2010. And just building Panther Distillery, the cost of it was $1.5 million. And when doing we used all local contractors, builders, cement, electricians. Everything we do is local in Minnesota. We have two operating 500-gallon stills. We have a third on the way. Panther Distillery has six employees and is still growing. All our ingredients are produced by our local Osakis farmers, and, of course, we use the waters of Minnesota, which help us with our product. Well, one of the things we bring a lot to the Osakis and Alexandria area is tourism. We have had over 6,500 visitors since July 4th of last year to the distillery alone. Bills, we believe that the bills SF 623, 624, and 625 will help us not only grow as a company, but also in the tourism in the local area and the state. We are not asking for anything the wine and beer producers already have the ability to do. We have no desire to be a bar, a liquor store, or a distribution wing to sell our products in the state. We just want the ability to sample our product and to sell a bottle to a tourist. If you pass this bill, we have the ability to grow, which means jobs. I can double my staff and I can add another building to my site. I got it. Panther Distillery currently is selling whitewater whiskey, which is our version of moonshine. Our next product is spiked apple spirits, which should come any day. We're awaiting approval from the TTB. And then we're going to follow that up with a gin product. The bill will help us with the community with more jobs. We want to sell our Minnesota product all over the country. Please forgive me if I have mentioned jobs and tourism so many times, but we have had people come from all over the country just to see our operations. And what can you say about jobs? People need them.
Thank you. Senator Gazelka?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
I just had a clarification on, you talked about over $1 million to get it up and running. How much of that was the licensing cost directly to Minnesota?
Nothing. It costs, I think it's $2,500 to get a license in Minnesota. It took, the longest part was getting the federal license, which that was a little bit more difficult. It took about a good year to get that license, but the state of Minnesota coming to get a license, first class. The alcohol division for the state of Minnesota has been nothing but helpful and generous with everything they've tried to accomplish with us, making sure through inspections and coming to visit our site. So the state of Minnesota has been fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you. You hear that more often. Need another? Would you like to testify as well?
Unless there's any questions that.
Does any of the members have any questions?
Madam Chair, real quickly, if I could have Mr. Panther just talk about real quickly, real briefly about the sampling, and specifically about the three bills, exactly how you intended them to occur should this committee allow it. The sampling, the selling of a bottle, and the selling of a actual drink on site.
Well, basically, when you come in to visit us, and most of the people, when they come to visit us, they ask, can we have a sample? Can we have a taste? Can we buy a bottle? And that's all we want to do. We want them to taste the product on site, and then if they like it, if they don't, then they can have the ability to purchase a bottle, which usually we sign. We would sign when we do our tastings out in the local area. We just sign it for them. And I think a lot of people like that feeling when they come into our establishment. Did I answer all your questions?
And I think on the on-sale as far as a drink, selling a drink.
Oh, yes. Brett, you want to answer that one?
It would just be to extend. Brett Greniger. It would just be to extend that tour and be able to serve a drink to the customers as like a winery or a brewery would be able to.
Okay.
No more than one drink, sorry.
Okay. Senator Goodwin?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a quick comment. It's really impressive that you're using all Minnesota farm products and you're making your barrels in Minnesota from Minnesota products.
Right, there's
as well.
Two places that make barrels.
Excellent. Thank you for doing that.
Well, that's one of the things we truly believe is everything is local, everything is Minnesota. You know, a lot of people, when they talk about bourbon and whiskey, they always talk about Tennessee and Kentucky. So one of my goals is when people talk about whiskey and bourbon, I want them to associate Minnesota with the same product in a good way.
Thank you. Yes. Is there anyone in the room that would like to comment on this?
I would.
Okay. Welcome to the committee. State your name and
sure.
Comments.
Thank you very much. My name is Robert McManus, and I wasn't exactly prepared to comment today. However, I've jotted some thoughts down here that I think are add to what the two gentlemen have stated here earlier. I'm Robert McManus. I'm the founder of the Mill City Distilling Company, soon to be commencing operations on 680 Minnehaha Avenue, the old Hams Brewery site over in St. Paul. I'm working with the Economic Development Authority over there to help redevelop this decrepit and 20-year vacant building. I've had great response from the local officials over there. My family and I had the great fortune to relocate to Minnesota from New York last summer, and in New York, I have seen what has happened with distilling over the last 5 years. Minnesota has a tremendous craft brewery industry. Someone said to me last week, top three, top five in the country. And it has the potential, I believe, to occupy a similar place in distilled spirits if legislation modernizes and allows some of the things that have been mentioned here earlier. As Adrian had mentioned, Minnesota has the raw materials, the ingredients to make a tremendous single malt whiskey. Malt barley only grows north of the primarily grows north of the 45th parallel right here. Tremendous amount of barley being grown in the state, malted by some of the companies here in the state, Rahr, Cargill. There are two cooperages in the state of Minnesota, the Barrel Mill and Black Swan, that take and send their barrels throughout the whole country to the craft distilling industry. 250 distillers around the country have to age their spirits in barrels made in Minnesota. It's tremendous. We have these ingredients. We have tremendous water here. So I think just to say that there is a possibility of having a great follow-on industry to craft beer here. Some similarities, some parallels, and some differences between craft beer. There's been tremendous consumer response to craft beer. But one big difference, and there's the rest of the country, we've seen that happen in other states that have modernized their laws, such as Wisconsin, New York, Oregon, Washington, Ohio, Michigan, Illinois, Missouri, Iowa, and Kansas. However, distillers face some very different operating realities than do craft brewers. When you age spirits, you have to put a lot of money into putting something literally and figuratively on the shelf in your distillery to age for some period of time, 6 months to 6 years. What do you do in that intervening time period? You market unaged spirits, and if you can charge for a tour, if you can sell a bottle at your distillery, you can have a sample, have a cocktail. This is something that helps these startup businesses bridge the cash flow problems of every startup business to the very unique problems of a distillery its product is aged for periods of time. I've seen, so I guess I'll just say this is the first, to my knowledge, as the senator said, the first distillery in Minnesota. If some of these laws get liberalized, they certainly will not be the last. Thank you, and I can take any questions.
Okay. Anyone have any questions? Thank you for your testimony.
You're welcome.
Join the committee. Go ahead and state your name.
Madam Chair, committee members, my name is Chris Georgikas, representing Wirtz Beverage, Minnesota, Minnesota's second largest wine and spirits wholesaler. I'm here on behalf of my client, and I know others who represent the wholesale and retail segments of the liquor industry in this state, in stating concern about efforts to further erode the three-tier system as embodied in Senator Ingebrigtsen's legislation. I very much appreciate what Senator Ingebrigtsen is attempting to do for his constituent. I will say that I think everyone in the industry is glad for efforts like Mr. Panther's and Mr. McManus's efforts to open a distillery. We want the liquor system in this state to work well for those manufacturers, those who are in the craft distilling business, just as those in farm wineries and craft brewing. However, I think it's very important for us to understand what we're dealing with. Distilled spirits typically have about 40% alcohol content, a factor of several times over what we see in wine and beer. And in fact, the sampling provision that is in one of Senator Ingebrigtsen's bills providing for a 15-milliliter sample per variety, in fact, is half an ounce of alcohol. The three-tier system was created after Prohibition to ensure that adequate social controls existed in dealing with a commodity that is unlike other food products. The experience of those who created Minnesota's three-tier system after Prohibition knew from recent experience the problems of vertical integration, where manufacturers could sell directly to the consuming public, the sort of overconsumption that resulted, the corruption of the marketplace, and other ills. So, Madam Chair, members, I would just ask that as the committee considers this and other bills, as you assemble an omnibus liquor bill, that you carefully consult with those in the industry who have the concern of the welfare of the consuming public in mind, and that you look at efforts to further erode the three-tier system with appropriate skepticism. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Members, any questions? Okay, Senator Ingebrigtsen, anything additional? Or you want, we're going to lay these over 623, 24, and 25 for possible inclusion in the.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. And obviously, we're forging new ground here, and we really appreciate your time on this. And we certainly appreciate your consideration. Being the first one to ever come here, we think it's quite exciting for the state of Minnesota. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next, Senator Eaton will do Senate File 467. Okay.
Yeah.
Senator Eaton. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have Senate File 467, and it is the, I believe there's a handout, yeah. It's a bill that would give local municipalities the power to issue an on-sale liquor license to a brewer tap room. Some municipalities have done this, but there's been some concern about the law being vague, so it's a technicality I want to clarify.
Okay.
And this has been supported by the Minnesota Licensed Beverage Association and the MMBA.
Do you have an amendment to the bill?
I did, but I was told it couldn't be heard.
I'll move the A1 amendment.
A1 amendment has been moved. Do you want to explain the amendment?
Please. Madam Chair, I have Mr. Bagnoli here.
Okay, state your name and.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Joe Bagnoli on behalf of the Minnesota Licensed Beverage Association and the Minnesota Municipal Beverage Association. This amendment essentially accomplishes the same purpose as the bill. It just puts it in a little different spot that we think makes it a little bit more clear. You don't have to cross-reference as much within the bill.
Any questions, members? All those in favor of 467A, say aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. Approved. Okay.
Thank you.
Name here.
Thank you.
That's it. We'll lay 467 over for possible inclusion in the omnibus.
Senator Pappas wanted to talk.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Is she here? Members, we will meet again on Wednesday at noon to hear agency bills and a few others.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I'm aware of a. Senator Pappas's bill. She wants, a license for the new stadium, and I can't speak more on the issue than that. But I just wanted we'll hand it out, and you can look at it. We'll probably discuss it at the next meeting. But you should be. It's a lower town regional ballpark that is going to be started to be built this spring, personally, I would think that they should be allowed a on-sale license, but that's one member's opinion. But I do know she wants to visit with us, so why don't you take it with you? Did you wish to acknowledge on this issue?
Go ahead, Joel.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Joe Bagnoli once again. I just wanted to, on this issue for the because there was a little bit of conversation on the why, Shakopee, why... The Valley Fair. The Valley Fair needed the license. Stadiums need specific license, and when they did the bill last year that granted, or they didn't know if the Saints were going to get the bonding money last year, so they didn't even know if they had a project last year. The Saints have now got the bonding money, or the city has the bonding money. They're going ahead building the facility. They need a special license in order to be able to sell alcohol at the Saints Stadium. This is a... provision that generally goes with facilities of this type. It is not unusual or uncommon. We, the MLBA and Municipal Beverage Association, support this. So that's by way of clarification.
Okay, thank
you. Council Stang could do better. But.
Okay, thank you. and we'll wait and hear it.
Madam Chairman, the bill isn't introduced yet, is my understanding. I think it's going to be on Thursday, so there's no bill in front of us. But I think Senator Pappas wanted at least hand it out so the committee was thinking about it as we assemble the omnibus bill.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, Senator Metzen, I don't know if you...
Oh, that's right. When are we meeting again?
Yeah, we'll meet again on Wednesday at noon, and we'll hear bills and a few other ones, too. So thank you.
Thank you.
Adjourned. Mayor.